podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So I want to say thank you for being able to be here today. What a great time of worship. You know, we could leave right now and say it's really been good to be in the house of the Lord. But again, just want to say thank you. I've known your pastor for ever since he's been here. Just love Jack and his family and you folks. Very honored to serve as your missionary in North Carolina, working with the Baptist State Convention in North Carolina. And very humbled that God would use someone like me to preach. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles. Let's just go ahead and get in the Word. Let's go ahead and get into the Word this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. And it's probably a verse of Scripture that you've probably read many times. You've probably heard it preached in many different ways. But this morning, I want us to really take a strong look at Isaiah's focus this morning. So if you would, stand with me in reverence to God as I read from His Word. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. And the Scripture says, "And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. And with two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the foundations and the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Let's pray. This morning, O gracious and sovereign Lord, as we come to you, O God, this morning we confess, God, this morning that there is no other God like you. And God, that even at times in our lives when we develop little small idols or things that we have more passion for than you, or that we run after more than you, God, we confess this morning that you are God. And Father, we thank you, God, this morning for your love and for your mercy and for your grace. Father, we thank you this morning that by grace through faith, that in Christ Jesus and Christ alone, that you have adopted us and placed us into your family. Father, I pray, God, today that you would quieten our hearts, and that, God, that you would quieten our minds, and that, God, today that your voice would be the greatest voice that we would hear. Oh, God, I pray today, Lord, that God, I'm just a sinful man, and God, that by your grace, that Father, Lord, that you would forgive me, and God, that you would use me simply as a medium, Father, this morning to communicate your message. Oh God, I pray this morning that the messenger would not be in the way of the message, and that God, that people by the power of your Spirit, from your precious word, God, that they would hear you. And I pray, God, that today that you would be glorified. Father, we pray that you would take everything that's happened this morning, the beautiful music, Father, the sweet fellowship, But God, we pray, God, that this morning that we realize you're the audience and that all of this was to you. And Lord, it's not about us. Now, Father, use now your servant. For it's in the most powerful name of King Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that the world around us is changing? Have you ever noticed that things are not the same as they used to be? Have you ever noticed that even church at times is not the same as it used to be? And that people that we encounter with the gospel, that people that we deal with in daily life, even at times family, is not the same as it used to be. As a matter of fact, things can change fairly quick. For example, all you need to do is go to see your physician and maybe have a checkup. And a couple days later, you get this call on the phone. And this call on the phone says, hey, you need to come in. Something don't look quite, it just don't look quite right in your blood work. We need to talk about it. And all of a sudden, how things can change, and they can change so quickly. So quickly. Or it may be that you get the news. And the news is news you don't want to hear. That somebody that you truly love, somebody that you truly care about, something very tragic has happened, something very critical has taken place within their lives, that sometimes maybe even it's a death. And wow, do things ever change? Or maybe work somewhere for 30 years, and then the next thing you know, you get the pink slip that says, we're moving your job somewhere else. Wow, things change. Things happen. Things take place in life. We see, Isaiah was a young man here in chapter 6. And one of the things that was taking place that he was well aware and knew this king, this king by the name of Uzziah. And you see, King Uzziah, he was a pretty good king. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he did, he tore down the false places of worship in the high places. But not only did he tear down the false places of worship in high places, but he also rebuilt the military. He got the people of Israel involved in more of an agrarian type of culture, agriculture. They were mining iron ore. So you see, everything was going okay. You know how it is. Everything kind of goes okay. But then all of a sudden, boom, something happens. All of a sudden, something takes place where things begin to shift. Things begin to form. Things begin to happen within our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I like to, when things like this happen, I like to find real close friends. You know, you may go through life and only have 5 really close friends that really are a safe place that you can talk to about anything. Or, you know, if it's something else taking place, I mean, you folks would really be aware of this, you go Google it. And you go to Google and wow, you can get all the information you want to know from it. I mean, it's just like information overload. It begins to happen and begins to take place. In churches all the time, we form teams or we form committees. Nothing wrong with any of that. But here's what I'd like for you to see. I'd like for you to see what Isaiah was all about and what he did. And I think there's some good principles that we can learn from young Isaiah in this. First of all, I want you to notice here in verses 1 through verse 3 that Isaiah looked up and he saw God. And it said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphims. Each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." So notice, he looked up and he saw God. Think about this for a moment. Wow, you know, in some little way, in some small way this morning, we were kind of experiencing that this morning. I mean, this morning with the music, with the fellowships, the beautiful hearts, and, you know, I'll tell you right now, you folks are a really good-looking church. I preach all over North Carolina with a convention. I preached at some churches who are ugly, and it's hard to preach to people who are just ugly. I mean, they just sit and look at you mean, just kind of like a bulldog on a chain or something, you know? But you people smile. I mean, you're a very beautiful church. But noticed, he looked up and he saw God. He saw God. God was so holy. You know, I've often thought about this. Have you ever really thought about God's story? You know, everybody has stories. I love stories. You know, I like to sit around and listen to stories. You know, you sit around guys who fish a lot and you hear stories, and you hear stories that are stretched, and stories that, you know, all of a sudden that 6-inch fish became something like 14 inches. The next thing you know, it was a state trophy. I mean, you kind of hear stories like that, but I love hearing stories. Have you ever thought about God's story? You see, when Isaiah looked up, he saw God, and he saw God sitting upon the throne. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about in the beginning, when God created, in God's design, there was perfect harmony. Have you ever thought about that? There was perfect harmony. Think about this. Man and woman and God were in perfect harmony. God's creation was in perfect harmony with God. And all three were in perfect harmony with each other. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, If you think about droughts, if you think about fires, if you think about hurricanes, if you think about tornadoes, you know, as we kind of look around, we go like, wow, when we look at nature, like sometimes it can be really ugly. Think about it. In God's design, it was never designed to be that way. Just think about perfect harmony. And wow, it was kind of awesome when human beings realized that God was their God and they came under his authority. Pretty cool, huh? And wow, they were so happy. Happy. I mean, you had the lion laying down by the lamb. Just think about all the big dogs that would not bite. You could go up and just shake their heads and rub their heads. Or every line would be like the Food Lion line on the commercials. That's my 2 cents, you know what I mean? You could just scratch his mane. Think about horses who would not buck. It was perfect harmony. You see, that was God's design. And so when Isaiah looked up, he realized that even though all of this was happening in life, that God was still on the throne. Yeah. Folks, you need to hear that. This day and time, whatever it is that's going on in your life, and right now it may be so difficult you don't want to hear it, but I want to say it in a sweet way, it's true, that God is still on the throne, God is still sovereign, and God is in control. He's in control. He has it. Now, I want you to notice one of the things that's happened here. Notice the second piece of this. Change the PowerPoint. Thank you, my brother. Next of all, he looked in. You know, when I was, we have anybody in here about 9 or 10 years old, or they may be in a children's church or something. Anybody about that age? Yeah. Okay, I see one back there. Yep. When I was Put your hand down. When I was about that age, when I was a little guy, well, I never was little. Actually, when I was like 9 years old, I looked like one of those college dorm refrigerators with a head stuck on top of it. You know what I mean? And so, but when I was 9, you'd go to your doctor, and you would see him, and you get this physical, and dude, it was amazing what he'd do. He'd take this tongue, and he'd say, stick out your mouth, put this tongue depressor in your mouth, and say, ah-ah, ah. And then he'd take this light, and he'd do it in your eyes. He'd say, follow my fingers. He'd take this light, he'd put it in your ear. And for some reason, he had this little rubber hammer, and he would always take and go, boop, and your leg would go, just like that. Folks, I'll soon be 59. It's scary all the places they can look this day and time. Woo! I got the t-shirt, believe me. They can look anywhere they want. But notice here, Isaiah, he looked in. And notice what the Word of God says about this. In verse number 6, and in verse number 4, and he said, and the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This morning we heard it. We heard the music. Holy, holy. This morning we heard about there is no other holiness than God. God is the standard of holiness. We're not the standard of holiness. But notice here what Isaiah did. Isaiah looked in, and in the light of God's holiness, he took a look at himself. And really what was kind of interesting about that, he didn't like what he saw. I'm kind of weird. Two things I'm very thankful for. First of all, is air condition. Just came back from Florida yesterday, went down to get my mother-in-law to bring her back. She's sick, and people, she's going to be staying, my wife and I. And boy, let me tell you what, it was like so hot down there. I mean, I could only pull off so many clothes before people start screaming and running and start calling the law. You know what I mean? So I am thankful for air condition. The other thing that I'm thankful for is luggage with wheels. Matter of fact, I flew down Wednesday and drove her back yesterday. The little wheels. You go to the airport. Leave another morning at the airport is like you hear it. The Simon and Garfunkel, the old song, Sound of Silence, it was going like click, 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 click. Everywhere you listen, you hear them little wheels clicking. You see, I think there is a good possibility. I think there is a really good possibility that we have invisible luggage. I think it's a good possibility that we have baggage that we carry around all the time. Oh, now believe me, we don't talk about it. And probably somewhere down deep in our hearts, down deep within us, we have this little room. You have this little room. And we put stuff inside this little room. And we lock it up tight. We lock it up so tight. We lock it up so tight that nobody can go there. Nobody wants to visit there at all. You see, in that little room, as you look back at your life, could be filled with things that just really hurt you bad. Could have been a broken relationship. It could have been that you were really a victim of something. And it could go back for many years. It could go back for many years. but it's locked away in that little room. And we don't want to visit it. As a matter of fact, most of the time we never visit it. But then, here is God, the one that we sang about this morning. Oh, wow. He comes along with his light, this little light of love and mercy and grace. And all of a sudden, the lock pops off. And he opens the door to this little room. And he starts shining his light around in there. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes with me, it's kind of like I'm all of a sudden in a round room with no corner I can hide in. At times I go like, hey, God, no, God, not now. Just leave me alone. I don't want to deal with that stuff right now. Just leave me alone. But God continues to take that light. And mercy with grace. And he begins to shine it into those places. And all of a sudden, those things begin to move away. We start working through them by his grace. We process them. And we're able to move on. You see, this is a part of God's story that all of us are involved in. You see, because in God's design, when everything was in harmony, perfect harmony with God, you know what happened? All of a sudden, there was a man by the name of Adam and his wife Eve who basically said, you know, God, we don't want you to be our God anymore, and we don't want to come under your authority. And so what we want to do is we want to be our own God and come under our own authority. And we could be happy. The old Dr. Phil question, how did that work for you? But as a result of that, human beings were judged and the earth was cursed. It's the story of the fall. And we're all broken. Saturday night in Florida, I gathered around with a group of folks, and I like to meet people. My wife says that can be a bad thing because I talk to a tree. But I was eating pizza with a group of people. I met this 16-year-old boy. And I was talking about brokenness. His mom had left when he was like 3 years old. And his dad became an alcoholic. He really abused alcohol bad. He stayed drunk all the time. And this kid came up through that. And this kid had been kicked out. His dad kicked him out. As a result of that, he dropped out of school. He got into drugs. He started drinking himself. He got into stealing. It was kind of interesting because, you know, we were eating pizza and we were talking in this whole group that I was with. So one night, the sheriff's office there in that county had to go to his house. And they had to remove him out of his house because of his dad. And the people that I was hanging out with, they're kind of missional thinkers, you know, just kind of really, they just love God. The people I was hanging out with, they said he could come and stay with us. he started living with them. They were really gospel-centered people, the people I was hanging out with. Very gospel-centered. And all of a sudden, through the power of the gospel, his life began to turn around. No more alcohol, no more drugs, no more stealing. He tried to get back in school, but his dad would not sign for him to get back in school. So he's working on his GED. You see, we're all broken. Everybody here, you've been broken. You know, if you really think, kind of think about happiness, think about what Adam and Eve did, you think about everybody seeking to be happy. And then, you know, like for some ladies or from some, you know, from women, it's kind of like, well, if I can just find the right guy. Well, this is not working. Or if it's like, if I could just have more, if I could just have more, if I could just have more money and have more things, I could be happy. If I could just party and hang out with the party crowd, if I could just kind of drink it away, wow, then I could be happy. If I can run from it, I can be happy. I can be happy. You know what? You do not have a fix. I do not have a fix for my brokenness. I can't. You can't. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that our righteousness before God is like filthy rags. But when you read into the scriptures, you realize that even in God's story, his plan, even though the fall would happen and there would be brokenness, the scripture says that Christ was slain before the foundations of the earth. It was in God's plan before he created anything. And that Christ came. And when Christ came, you know, sometime at Easter, we kind of look at it and go like, oh, poor Jesus. And he did suffer. But you have to realize it pleased God to put him on that cross. Because what happened in the fall, only God could undo himself. Man could not do it. When Jesus was on that cross, your sin was being judged for. A holy God, your sin was being judged for. And my sin was being judged for. And when you look at that cross, also God was saying, I love you. And by grace through faith, what you cannot do for yourself, I will do it for you. Isn't that awesome? Boy, that is like, I ought to get you guys to stand up and sing that song again. I was like, whoa, wow, that was kind of awesome. But think about that. Think about that. We cannot do it on our own. And I hear these people, you know, all the time talk about like, well, you know, I could fix this. You see, Isaiah realized the word there when it says, when you look there, when you look at in verse number 5, and he talks about, I am lost, woe is me, I am lost. The Hebrew word there, the NIV, uses the term ruin. The Hebrew word there is nemitai. It basically means this, is my life is coming unraveled. My life is coming unraveled. You feel like that. Your life is coming unraveled. So the beautiful part of that is that there was a place of grace. Next PowerPoint. There we go. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. And the scripture says, and then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Was it Isaiah who went running to God? No. It was God who sent this created being to Isaiah. And many times in our life, and I don't know why we hear this, we hear about we need to hold the hand of God. Well, I got news for you. You cannot hold the hand of God. You know, we can say it in church here on Sunday morning and experience the beautiful music and the fellowship this morning. Oh, yeah, but you know what? When things start getting tough, you know what? We will let go. It was the psalmist who said it was the Lord who reached down in the mire and the muck of sin and he lifted me out. It was the gospel writer who said that there is not a devil, not a demon, not a devil in hell that can pluck me from his hand. I call it gripped by his grace. And so the beautiful part of this is like what had happened in that young man's life was that Jesus was the one who came and brought harmony back to him with the Father. Did you know that? If you're here today, now we still have to contend with the flesh. Some of us have more than others, but we still, but it's really the old nature. But we have to contend with the flesh. And there's always a tendency when we get into spiritual warfare or things start happening that we really want to try to fight it our own way. You know, you let you do something to me, then I'm going to come to you and say, hey, could I tell you what she did to me? Then we'll start gossiping. Or dude, if I say something about you, then the next thing, if I walk over and if I walk over to you, and please don't, man, you're like kind of a man to look at. I used to be that way before I got old, and then I got the bedroom disease. My chest kind of fell in my drawer, so you don't. But anyway, if I come over to you and he smacked me, our tendency is I'll smack him harder. And then he'll probably knock me out. You see, we have a tendency that we fight battles. We manipulate. Oh, we love manipulation. Oh, me. You ever heard people say, I want you to pray for so-and-so, and all of a sudden they get into the yuck and yuck of that person's life. And it's like, really? We manipulate people. You know, if I can kind of talk to these people, then if I want this done, I can kind of get this done. Or if I can talk to these people, I can. That's not of God. That's of your brokenness. That's the old broken nature. And I'll be honest with you, the people who are broken the most are the people who don't realize they're broken. Wow. But this was simply by the grace of God. By God in his grace came to Isaiah. You know where God's at when you're going through the battle? He's right there. You know what? He will not leave you or forsake you, and nothing happens to you haphazardly. We live in a broken world, but God is still an omnipotent, all-powerful, all-great, all-loving. He's everywhere at one time, God. And he's right with you. But it's hard. But his grace, we look to him. And so the idea is in God's story, we have God's design, perfect harmony. There was the fall, and as a result of that, we're all broken, and we all try to find our own way. We really love being our own God. we love to put self first. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes that's the biggest problem I have. Sometimes my pride, sometimes I just get in the way. That's my biggest problem. I don't know, you may not have that problem. Your problem may be something else, but sometimes it's my pride. Sometimes it's I just want to get the big head. I just kind of want to look and say, well, look what I'm doing. I already got the big belly. Just want to get the big head. It's kind of like, no. It's got to be about God. It's not about me. It's not about who I know. It's not about what I do. It's about God. And so we deal with God's creation, perfect harmony. Then everything's out of harmony. Human beings and all of creation, and even human beings with human beings. Wow, if you just look at all the stats that go around, like deals with people and, you know, domestic violence. If you look at husbands and wives who argue, if you look at the kids, I mean, if you just look at it, it's so messy out there. All of that is a result of brokenness. And then the Lord came. And He rescues us. And He restores us to God. And you know what? According to the scripture, one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Think about this. One day it will all be back to God's original design. Think about it. And then He looked out. Who will go for us? Who will I send? Who will go for us? Let me tell you what. We have the greatest message in the world. The only true message that can redeem and restore. And we're so quiet with it. First place I think that I would tell you, ask you to look, I would take a look in my own family. Parents, I know you got your youth guy here. He's a great guy. I love him to death. I've known him for a long time. But you know what? If you really think that this church can disciple your children and your youth, you got something else coming. You have the best here. Biblically, it's the parents' responsibility to disciple their children. It's the parents' responsibility to pour their lives into their kids. And to look around at our neighbors. How about the people we work with? All you got to do is look around with gospel eyes, and wow, you see brokenness everywhere. You ever been like that? And all your kind of work? Just look around and you see gospel and brokenness. You know what? In reality, and I'm going to finish here. Let me just finish here. You know, yesterday we saw the doc from the Samaritan Purse. If you were watching the news, I was listening to it on the radio, came back in, and, you know, he had the Ebola virus. He went and he gave his life to, well, he's not dead, but he went and he had the purpose. He had given everything he had here to go to be able to help people and to tell them about Jesus. Okay? He was a missionary. Still is. The other nurse will be coming home here in a few days. She, from Samaritan, is a missionary. Your church supports missionaries. Many times you do mission trips. Sometimes youth, you do mission trips. Sometimes you're missionaries. Let me lay something on you. I don't know if you ever thought about this. At what time during the day does a missionary become a missionary? What time? All the time. Let me give you a stat. The first country in the world with the greatest lostness of people not knowing God are hearing the gospel message is India. The second country, largest country in the world, where has the greatest population of lostness is China. The third country in the world that has the greatest population of lostness is the United States of America. At one time, we were a country who was a mission-sending country. Now, do you realize that there are close to 200,000 missionaries a year from other countries who are Christian who come into this country because of our lostness? So I would challenge you to be a missionary at home, where you work, where you play, where you hang out with your friends. Be a missionary. Let's pray. Father, again, I'm just so thankful. So thankful for you, God, this morning. And Father, being here to in the midst of these people, God, to experience just a beautiful time in you. Now, Father, I pray today that, Lord, if there's someone who's here, that God, that may not know you or may not be looking at you, that they've kind of lost their focus, that they're kind of looking at other things, looking in other directions, if they're kind of looking at other things, if they're not looking at you, if they're looking to find happiness outside of you, whatever it is, I pray, Spirit of God, today that you would work in their hearts. God, have your will and have your way. For us, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.